You know, agencies typically say that a RIF is always a last resort, but I wonder, is that also true as a matter of law or of regulation? You know, in other words, do they have to take certain other steps before they get down to actually eliminating positions?
Well, they don't have to, but they do have an incentive to take intermediary steps before going directly to a RIF. And I say that because RIFs are actually pretty expensive for agencies. I don't know if the discussion in the media has really reached this point yet, but agencies actually have to pay severance when they RIF someone. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they can be on the hook for up to a year's worth of salary for longer serving employees who end up getting reduced. So really, they do have an incentive if they can find any other way to bring about the attrition they need to do that. But it's not always possible. And I think, you know, when they can't either sort of induce or encourage people to go on their own, then they're down to RIFing. And, you know, that's where it does get expensive. So I think it is their last resort usually. In this environment, I'm not sure they'll go through all the possible intermediary steps, but hopefully they would, you know, give everybody a chance to leave voluntarily before making involuntary cuts.
So at least in some cases, it may be cheaper to do a buyout or an early retirement program than pay that severance that you talked about.
Definitely. And then another option that agencies sometimes will use is what's called management-directed reassignments. And that is where, if there are vacant funded positions, they can simply reassign people into those. I will say that in my career, I've seen certain management-directed reassignments which appeared sufficiently awkward and uncomfortable for the employee that it appeared that indeed it was sort of a RIF by other means. But hopefully agencies don't resort to those very often, and they do use more above board measures like the VERA or VSIP that you mentioned.
So having stipulated that a RIF should be a last resort, if your position does actually completely go away, is the government under any obligation to try and place you into another job, like a vacancy that they're currently advertising for?
Well, actually, yes. Depending on your retention standing, if an employee is in a competitive position or a career service position and they have a sufficiently high standing in the retention register, which the agency has to develop once a RIF is definitely going to happen, that's a ranking where they basically determine the order in which people are entitled to stay and the order in which people are going to be terminated based on seniority and other factors. Depending upon your retention standing, you may have the right to do what's called bump or retreat, which is where if there are vacant positions in your same competitive area for which you're qualified but which may be at a lower grade, you may have the right to actually displace the current incumbent of that position and move into it. So people can end up taking demotions and RIFs in order to stay employed.
And if it comes down to the point where you truly aren't working for the federal government anymore at all, you're laid off, full stop, What can an agency do, or what does it have to do to help a federal worker transition?
Well, before a federal employee is terminated under a RIF, but after they've received the specific notice that they're going to be RIFed, they have the right to what's called the Career Transition Assistance Program, which is where they're supposed to have sort of a heightened entitlement to any vacancies which may come along, for which they are at least basically qualified. They don't have to be the best qualified. And then after an employee is RIFed, they also have what's called the, Interagency Career Transition Assistance Program, ICTAP, available to them, and that is supposed to, again, be a way for them to have priority rights to any vacancies which may come up in their commuting area, which, you know, for which they are at least well qualified, if not the best qualified.
How about collective bargaining agreements? Can they or do they typically provide some extra buffer or protection beyond the standard RIF rules?
Well, that's a good question. And I've seen some instances where collective bargaining agreements require agencies to negotiate with the union before determining that a RIF is necessary. I've seen instances where collective bargaining agreements require an agency to give more than the 60 mandatory days of notice for a RIF. And also, I'm aware of instances where I believe, I'm trying to recall now, that the collective bargaining agreement required the agency to, as we've talked about, to take all other available measures to try to place surplus employees before resorting to a RIF. And so, yes, the short answer is yes, that CBAs can actually make a big difference in terms of both employee protections and then, you know, employee information, because often employees, unfortunately, can be left in the dark until they get that specific notice of reduction in force in hand, and only then do they know for sure what the status of their particular job is.
Right. And Heather, of course, one feature of this budget that's gotten a lot of attention is that it would completely eliminate 19 kind of smallish agencies. So if Congress passes legislation that says, oh, by the way, the agency you work for no longer exists, is that a RIF or something else?
That would be a RIF unless the functions that were performed by those agencies ended up being continued, but in a different department. So, for example, say that, I don't know, say that part of NOAA perhaps ended up at NASA. This is just a hypothetical.
Mm-hmm.
If it was a specific program, and it moved to a completely different department or different part of the government, the employees might have the right to do what's called transferring with their functions. And in that case, if work moves from one part of the government to another where it wasn't being performed before, but now is being, you know, it's moving completely from one place to another, and it's no longer going to be performed at the old agency, which certainly would happen in the case of a wholesale elimination, then the employees actually have the right to transfer with their functions to the new agency. Now, once they get there, they may be subject to a RIF at that new agency, but they have the right to at least, you know, stay employed and move with their work. And so once they get to the new agency, they may be competing with the people who are already there for, you know, that retention register. But, you know, at least if the work continues in some form and the program isn't simply discontinued, they may have the right to, you know, to relocate. Other than that, though, yeah, if your agency is going to be just eliminated, it's most likely going to take the form of a RIF.
And what are employees' appeal rights if they feel like, you know, the existing processes haven't been followed, they feel like they've been discriminated against, et cetera?
Well, if they feel they've been discriminated against, then there's always the right to file an EEO complaint prior to the, you know, any removal which might happen. On the other hand, you know, the if you leave after you receive a notice of RIF in hand, it's presumed to be involuntary, and so you would have the same right to appeal that removal to the MSPB, the Merit Systems Protection Board, as you would if you are demoted pursuant to a RIF or if you are terminated pursuant to a RIF. So federal employees in the career service are going to have their MSPB appeal rights if they get demoted or removed, or if they get furloughed for more than 30 days, which is another way that agencies can try to save money. It hasn't worked too well in the government shutdowns, mm-hmm. but you know, it's a possible way around. But employees do have standard appeal rights for that. And then also, as I said, if they, you know, go elsewhere, if they leave of their own volition after receiving the RIF notice, that's a specific enough statement that you're going to be fired that MSPB will treat it as involuntary. On the other hand, if you leave before you get the RIF notice, you will not have MSPB appeal rights from that departure.
Gotcha. One thing we should mention is, of course, the Defense Department just a couple months ago amended its RIF procedures at the direction of Congress. The highlight there being that performance is the first criteria they're supposed to look at rather than tenure when they're deciding who to RIF. Probably won't see a whole lot of RIFs in defense components given the makeup of this budget, but is there anything in particular folks should know about the defense rules that's different from everything we've talked about so far?
Well, as you mentioned, you know, highlighting performance over the other factors for retention is a pretty sharp departure from every RIF we've seen in the past. So I think that I'm not sure exactly the purpose of that other than perhaps to give management a bit more discretion about the retention standing, which is a little disturbing. But as you say, I think you're right that you know, defense is probably the least likely area to suffer RIFs. So I actually question whether that will come into play other than sort of as an inducement to defense employees to up their performance as much as they can during the coming rating cycles.
That brings up a related point. I think most of the rules we've been talking about apply to Title V employees. Are there different rules for, let's say, Title X employees or people working for the intelligence community, non-Title V folks?
Yes. If you're non-Title V, you essentially don't have these rights. These are for career service employees or probationary career service employees. However, if you're in the accepted service, which is the case for a lot of, you know, three-letter agencies, then the agency has the discretion to apply those. Again, I don't know that that part of the government is necessarily going to suffer the most headcount reductions under this, you know, proposed budget. And then also for Title 38, it's actually discretionary for those folks to be granted RIF rights. For non-Title 38 employees at the VA, their title, you know, they would have standard RIF rights under the OPM regulations.